You are listening to the OneOfUs.net Podcast Network.
Okay, so have you ever wondered what it'd be like to take a road trip with the kid from Grand Budapest Hotel and the guy from How Did This Get Made? Then do I have a movie for you? Oh, man. Yeah, this movie is The Long Dumb Road, and because I need to have my own awesome travel companions with me for this review, I brought along Nick Tice and Travis. Hey, how you doing, guys?
Hey.
Well, hey there, Justin, my friend. I'm so glad you invite us along for this fucking road trip.
Woo!
Good time. I got my Cheetos and my my Gatorade, my road food, beef jerky. I am ready.
And trail mix. Need trail mix.
And trail mix, yes.
Yes, and I think, Travis, this is your first Screener Squad review, is it not?
I believe it is, yes.
Awesomeness. And I'm glad that at least... Okay, I don't know what you guys thought of this movie. I like to say that I think I got you guys a better movie to pick than often I would give Nick for these kind of reviews.
Yeah, we will get into it. I have a very interesting opinion on this film that has, like, evolved over time.
Oh, yeah, boy. You know, it's funny because when I saw this movie, I saw it last night, I kind of had the same reaction. I'm like, you know, I know I need to think about my opinion of this movie because it's not that I dislike this movie. It's not that I like this movie. I kind of feel this weird, nebulous place with it. But, okay, what is this movie about? Well, it's a road trip movie. So basically, it's Tony Revolori from Grand Budapest Hotel. Sorry, my throat's clearing up still. So he's a young kid from Texas, and he's traveling to L.A. to go to grad school, or at least college, I think. And on the way over, his car breaks down, and so he has to walk back to a gas station where he meets Jason Mantzoukas, which, again, you know him from the podcast How Did This Get Made, or you know him as Derek from The Good Place. So that's probably the most likely place.
Or Adrian Pimento from Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Oh, or yes. Rafi from The League. Gattaca!
He's been around. You'll know him from a lot of stuff. And so he exchanges. It's like, hey, look, I'll fix your car, but if you can give me a ride to a town nearby, I need to go and meet somebody here. And just that little decision takes him on a crazy journey of, you know, just going to meet new, you know, it's pretty much road trip cliches. They meet in old flames. They meet people on the road at hotels. There's all these kind of crazy stuff that happens. And most of it because freaking Jason Mantzoukas in this movie is a loose cannon. Like, he is...
There's something wrong with him.
There is something very wrong with this guy. And I love it, because I think Nick and I reviewed this trailer a while back for Breakfast Pub, and there's that bit when he looks at Tony Revolori where he's like, oh, I don't know if I should give you a ride. He's like, no, look at me. Look at me. These are trusting eyes. You're just like,
I have very kind eyes. Jason Mantzoukas was born with permanent crazy eyes. There is no way... You should let this man get into your car.
Well, especially
although
the way
I did
he
find
looks...
that interesting in the.
Okay.
No, go ahead, Justin.
Oh, I was just saying, especially the way he looks with his hair and his beard and the dirty freaking clothes he's wearing. It's like, yeah, don't let this guy anywhere near you.
Yeah, I actually appreciated how they actually played that part down in the beginning part to where it feels kind of believable that he would let him into his, like Jason Mantzoukas into his car.
Yeah,
like that. Yeah. Like, okay, it's like a couple miles. Like, it doesn't seem like that big of a commitment. Like, maybe an hour. Like, what's it? An hour of like
he helped you out. It's fine.
Yeah, it seems fair. Like, and then it kind of like slowly snowballs for coincidence of like you know, bus stations being shut down, and you know, happenstance of, you know, just kind of being on the same way that they kind of get on this road trip together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which, and it's interesting because it feels like, I mean, normally it's a pretty organic flow of events happening, even though there's at least a couple of those, you know, road trip moments are just like, because we need something zany to happen, this happens, kind of thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I will say at least a lot of the stuff that happens is because of the way the script is written and the dialogue, which I felt, for the most part, it was actually pretty good on the whole. You know, it felt very natural, conversational between these two actors, kind of thing.
Yeah. It had some slow moments, but...
Yeah, I'm wondering how much, since a lot of this is Jason Mantzoukas feels kind of like his natural dialogue. Like, if you listen to How Did This Get Made, you'll find quotes that just make their way into Brooklyn Nine-Nine or some of his other characters.
I don't think he was acting in this movie.
Like, yeah, so it's hard for me to tell what was written in the script for him and what is kind of just a lot of just improv on his end of it. But I will tell you this, Jason Mantzoukas gets a chance to really stretch his acting muscle in this one, because there's some darker moments in the film where we actually, like Travis said, like, all kidding aside, there's something legitimately wrong with this man.
Yeah.
He's not, like, fun crazy like Rafi from the League or...
No, like, broken person type
but
of
like,
crazy.
Oh, no, you're, like, a real person broken, and it's kind of sad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And,
I'll be honest, the most unbelievable part of this film was, like, yeah, I'm 35. I'm like,
no, you're not. I remember when he said, like, my 35 years of life have taught me anything, and I'm like, 35? No offense, Jason Mantzoukas, but if you're 35, you're a rough 35.
I mean, yeah, Tony Revolori, he's playing, like, what, 19 years old, and he's very clearly not a 19-year-old here. It's, like, probably, like, mid-20s.
Right.
Yeah.
But we're used to that, where it's, like, Jason Mantzoukas is, like, a decade older than what he said in this movie, so...
But, you know, it's funny because this movie, again, when I say it's a road trip movie, there's not a whole lot of surprises, and there's really not much of a plot to this movie. Like, there's a couple key events, but it just seems to be very serendipitous and happenstance when those things happen. So just like, okay, we're just kind of following along for the ride until the movie ends, which this movie's really freaking short, too. Like, only an hour, 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Boy, I don't
I like to point out that Tony Revolori is actually only 22.
Really?
So he's actually not playing off an age at all.
Okay, he just... Okay. He's been playing high school age forever, that it's hard to tell what age he is anymore.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, he's not 30, so...
No, there's that.
All right.
Yeah, so this film did nothing for me when I first watched it. Because, like you said, that there's so little plot, like... The only sense of conflict comes in like an hour into this film when you finally feel like there might be some stuff at stake.
Yeah, or at least like, external even, conflict. Yeah.
Yeah. There's not even a hard time limit for this kid to get to his classes. Like, oh, classes start in 3 days, and we don't get that line of dialogue until an hour and 2 minutes in. And it's like, oh, okay, now there's a clock on it. And then even then you're kind of like... Well, then he'll start his classes late.
Yeah.
Yay. Like, it's, there's not really any sense of tension or whether or not, like, is he gonna make it? Like, well, he's gonna make it. It just kind of depends on how much of an inconvenience it is. And so after I was first done watching this film, I was like, well, I didn't really do anything for me. And then over the course of the 2 days since I've had to think about it, I've grown to hate this film.
Wow. Really? Wow. Okay.
Yeah. I really have, and a couple reasons why are because I feel like this, at every turn, this film simply does not try. It has some setup and some ideas, but it doesn't seem to really want to go anywhere with them. And this is, Justin, you've heard me say it once, I'll say it many more times, this is exactly what I hate about fucking indie movies. Now, I don't hate all indie movies, but I always hate...
Just majority of them.
I just hate that they give... Like, they feel like the license... Like, this feels like a film student's film that I'd watch in a film class and be annoyed at that person. Like, ugh, okay, yeah. Like...
He was ranting about the fact that it was an indie movie the first 5 minutes of it. It's like, oh, he took a picture of a white wall.
Well, no, they start off... Okay, so there's, like, some signs in the beginning where I knew we were screwed. Like, and like because it starts off with two, like, 3 solid minutes of just montage driving sequence. And I'm like, oh, the movie came in, like, a couple minutes under length. So we were just going to have this thing. And
yeah,
then it
was like 90 minutes on the dot.
And then he stops to take a picture of a blank wall behind a, like an outlet mall. And I'm like, ugh. And he's taking pictures on a old film stock camera. And I'm like, double ugh.
Well, like, you forget he's going to art school, which they mentioned multiple times in the movie. Art school.
This mythical art school that doesn't seem to have a name, but yet everyone knows which one it is.
Yeah, we're going art school. You're going to have so much fun in art school.
Yeah.
Like, they implied it might be like Cal Arts, but I'm just like, yeah, it's never explicitly stated at one point.
No, but they say it all the time.
Mm-hmm. And I love my third strike for me was when Jason Mantzoukas asked him about his philosophy. And I know that the main character... is obviously a cipher for the director of, like, the artist. And it's like, oh, I don't really have a philosophy yet. And I'm like, oh, here we go.
Yeah.
And so here's some things that bothered me in the film as far as the director here, Hannah, what's her name?
Hannah Fidel.
She knows how to set up a sequence, but she doesn't know how to provide any payoff for that scene in any way later. So what I mean by this is, like, there's a couple things, like, I'll cover your ears, Justin. I'm gonna be crass for a second. The whole eat that pussy. Remember that Jason Mantzoukas whole thing of, like, hey, if you take away anything from this conversation, guys, if you take away anything from this review, it's that you got to eat that pussy. So that comes back in a later sequence, and it just has the two characters come in on Jason Mantzoukas eating pussy.
Yep.
That's
not the scene I expected to see Grace Gummer show up in this movie. I'm just like, oh, okay.
Right. But it doesn't provide any conflict. Like, they just find another room. It doesn't further anyone's character. It doesn't really... It's just a thing that happens. Like, when you... when you see someone have an EpiPen in a film, you're kind of like, oh, someone's going to lose that EpiPen, and they're going to lose it at the exact moment they need it. But in this film, they would just, oh, I need that EpiPen. Okay, I used it. And that's just what happens over and over again. They set up stuff and then pay it off in a very lackluster way that doesn't really connect with any of the rest of the film. And, like, if I were to use the sequence, Jason Mantzoukas, his whole theory was that no woman, like, doesn't want to go down on, you're just bad at eating pussy. Well, then the woman in that room should go, like, oh, that's okay, you don't have to, and, like, maybe he's bad at it and he's never realized it before. That would be funny. Or maybe it could come in another funny way. I don't know. It's just, like, so, like, it didn't even try to do anything with that. And
yeah, I almost prefer they had just left it alone, just have it be a funny one-off line.
Well, there's so many things that kind of get picked. Like, the only thing, and the only part of the film that picked up for me and got interesting was the ending, and I don't want to talk about it because I don't want to spoil the only thing that really happens in this movie that seems to have a very consequence that comes back later in a way that affects the characters. Like, they get into a bar fight that's kind of instigated out of nowhere. Like, these rednecks get mad and because they take the picture. And it's like, oh, I immediately thought, oh, this is his first experience out in the real world of racism. Because it's him and Jason Mantzoukas as the brownest people in that bar. Mm. And these redneck cowboys are having a problem with him. Except that never comes up. And those guys never come back later.
They slap him, run a block away, which they mention it's a block away.
Yeah. So you're like, oh, they're going to catch up to him late? Nope. So I'm like, oh. And I'm like racking my brain, like, what did that have to do with anything? Like, what did that teach these characters about anything? Or what does that say about this story? And it's too many of these random stories that I'm sure just... Maybe this feels like an autobiography of, like, someone telling you a story about their road trip that they went on one time.
It feels almost too realistic.
Yes, and except for that it's some points it's very real, it's in a real world setting, but then sometimes it takes movie logic to just get around plot stuff, like, oh, it's going to take more to, it's going to cost more to fix the car than to, than it's actually worth. And I'm like, what, that car? That's not a cheap ass car. Like, how much is that repair? Like, how, like, it just wouldn't start. Like, that's a non-start. And maybe it's like, obviously, like, I'm not supposed to be thinking about it that too hard, but if this was a zanier comedy, I wouldn't be thinking about it at all.
Well, there's also the slight issue of the fact that they mentioned multiple times his parents are rich and he's led a very sheltered life.
Yeah,
but they send him off on his own in apparently a rundown car that won't start multiple times in the movie.
Yeah,
unlikely. And even though his parents are very controlling, they never once call him, and he never once calls them.
So it's kind of the worst of both worlds here with the movie logic roadblocks that they run into, and yet they don't go in any kind of fun, zany direction that Jason Mantzoukas feels like he wants to do. And then when it's revealed later that basically Jason Mantzoukas is bipolar or has some sort of dissociative, like, mental disability... Like, he is seriously, like, damaged. It kind of gets less funny to laugh at him when he actually has something wrong with him and when it's a lot more real. So, I don't know what this film is trying to say. And it takes a lot, like, as short as it is, it feels so long because there's no forward momentum. It doesn't feel like we're building to anything up until the last half hour. And I don't know. I just really, at first I was like, it didn't make me that mad. It's fine. And the more I thought about it, the more I thought about all the missed opportunities. And I was kind of like, you know what? You didn't take a lot of, it's kind of like the person like that, well, I didn't fail because I didn't really try, but that means you never really succeed either. So I would prefer that you try and fail rather than just kind of this middle of the road, not really taking any chances bullshit. And then I should preface this. I've been kind of under the gun lately. I haven't gotten a lot of sleep the last 2 weeks. I've been working on some other podcasting projects. And I wanted to do this movie because I was like, oh, I love Jason Mantzoukas. This looks fun. So I might be coming at it from kind of a bitter place. But I just thought this was boring. And I don't like coming away from a movie with nothing. And I didn't come away with nothing. But the little I did come away with just didn't feel very worth it.
Yeah, you see, it's funny because, like, I... well, first of all, that's an amazing rant you guys just went on.
But sorry.
No, that's great. I do kind of agree, more or less. Like, I don't hate this movie, but there is so little to this movie. Like, there's just so little momentum, so little drive, so little point to this film. Like, it is essentially an excuse for just Tony Revolori and Jason Mantzoukas to hang out, essentially. You know? Like, just watching them on a road trip, they meet a bunch of people, like Teza Farmiga and Grace Gummer, as I mentioned. The two sisters they meet at a hotel. There's a great cameo by Pamela Reed as this older lady that helps him out later on in the film. I thought that was kind of funny when she showed up. But then...
Yes.
Yeah.
But then you notice that scene is so pointless. Like, it could be excised from the movie, and the movie would be no different.
See, and that's the problem with this movie, is that it's trying to be naturalistic, like in some ways, because, like, yeah, you know, in most normal situations, things don't always end up crazy. And it's like, on the one hand, I like that they don't go into the cartoony routes most of these road trip movies could do, but then by the end of the movie, I do agree, it's like, well, I feel like I was supposed to come away with something from this, but I didn't, really. It's just kind of, it was a little exercise, there was a few laughs, and then it was over, you know?
No, yeah. And the point of fact for the Pamela Reed cameo is that she gives them a ride, and they spend a long time on this scene.
Yeah.
And then there's a scene like directly after that where they just get picked up basically by an Uber and dropped off somewhere.
Yeah.
There's a throwaway line, and that character is never even seen.
Yeah, we never even see that person's face. And it's like, I loved it because it felt like it was going on so long, and I'm like, oh my god, I wonder if she's like a Mad Marge thing from like Pee-wee's Big Adventure. Like, if they go into if they went to the police station, they would have been like, wait a minute, the old lady up in the woods? No, she died like years ago. She got into a fight with a bear and never made it out. Like I really thought, like, again, I'm looking for a payoff here, and I just don't get it. And it's an exercise in just kind of musings of, you know, a young kid trying to find his way in life for the first time out in the real world with this kind of crazy guy that is, you know, interesting, but it's more like an experience and not really a story.
Yeah, no, it just feels like it's so light on content. And that's the thing, too, is that if it felt like these guys really bonded by the end of this, it would have made more of a difference. But there's a point where I'm like, you shouldn't hang out with this dude anymore. Like, literally.
No.
It became, like you said, there was that point where you're like, oh, it's not really that funny anymore. And they kind of sort of make it a little bit better by the big thing that happens at the end of the movie, where you're like, okay, he at least tried to be a better person. But by that point, I, again, felt like, well, yeah, I'm not going to, you know, if I was Tony Revolori, I would just never tell anybody the story. I'd just be like, yeah, I had a crazy trip, but I made it. You know, nothing happened. Nothing at all. Kind of thing like that.
Yeah, until his parents ask where his car is.
Don't worry about it. But yeah. So I guess that's all I really got to say about this movie. It's like, it's not even badly made. It's like, you know, it's about as decently made as a small indie film can be, kind of thing. And it's just, yeah, you know, I mean, there's one, and again, like we're saying, there's one character who shows up. I don't want to spoil it because it's kind of a, you know, I feel like saying this actor's name would give away what type of character he's playing in the story.
Yeah. So, yeah. Did they give it away in the trailer? I don't remember.
I don't think so.
Well, for people who haven't seen the trailer, I won't say what it is. So, but
it really is like the only time in the movie I kind of perked up So credit to that actor.
Yeah, definitely. But yeah, so I guess, I don't know, this movie premiered at Sundance. It got a decent reception, but I mean, most of the reviews for this movie, even the ones that have been like positive, they've all been kind of like a, yeah, it's fine. You know, like everyone's been kind of on that level with this movie. So I'm assuming you guys will be a little bit more extreme. So why don't we have your final ratings? Nick, if you have anything else to say for your giant rant here, what would you give this first? Hey, you know, like you said, we start mean. So.
Oh, okay. This is a hard one for me. I don't like movies like this. Whatever stage film students go through that, or, you know, film lovers go through where they like, oh, I like this because it violates so many storytelling norms and it's not really about anything. I've never reached that phase. I don't think I ever will.
I will kill you if you do. Don't
like,
worry.
I don't like a story that, like, its second act is, like, an hour in and then kind of never really has a third act. Like, it's funny, like, the third act is actually the second act of any other road trip movie where the shit would really start. And in this one, it's kind of just over. And at that point, I was just kind of, like, bored. The only thing I really come away with is that Jason Mantzoukas is actually a much more talented actor than I think we give him credit for, because he really sells some of the darker moments that are unfortunate, because they actually make the movie a little too real, to the point where it's just not... making fun of him feels a little too close to punching down, that I'm not comfortable with it. And, I mean, the shots are nice. Like, they're competent. They're not mind-blowing. It's a... like you said, it's a well-made film. But at least for... like, if when we reviewed Jurassic Dead, I come away with a crazy story out of it. I come away with something. I even like bad movies more than I like boring movies, because they're just more interesting to me. And this movie, I don't think, like, I'm ever going to think about it again after this. And I think that's what makes me mad in most movies, is just, like, not getting anything out of it, like not having a scene to remember that, like, is really like, oh man, this movie's not that great, but you should watch it for this one scene. This one scene's really great. I don't even really have that in here. Like, there's a couple that come close, but not really. I don't know. 1 out of 5. Fuck this movie.
Wow.
I mean, you know what? I don't give credit for, if you're not gonna try, then you don't get a passing grade from me in the C grade. You're just gonna get the non-complete, which is an F. So I'm the harsh professor, though. Travis, what did you think?
Well, the thing is that, unlike you, my opinion of this movie did not change,
mm-hmm.
because I literally forgot I watched it. When you were like, we're doing Screamers Club, I'm like, oh fuck, we watched a movie? Yeah. And I literally sat here, I was like, I was gonna be quiet until Justin says the name of the movie. Long time ago, that's it. thank God, I do remember the movie.
You realize we watched it 2 days ago.
Right? Yeah. Yeah, that's how much impact this movie had on me, was that I forgot it existed. I forgot that I watched it. It just didn't do anything.
A stunning review. I can see it on the box now. Travis from Screener Swaz says, I finally remembered it was a movie.
It doesn't do anything spectacular. And these characters were, like, the two main characters were interesting together, but that doesn't make a movie. That makes an improv, you know, comedy skit. You could have had these two together.
This movie would actually work much better as a play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, a two-man show. Like a play. Yeah.
Yes, like a two-hander. Yes, yeah. That would work.
Phrasing, okay.
No, that would, like, there'd be less time wasted. You'd be able to throw in more, like, comedic partings rather than just, like, sitting here like, now what do we do? Let's just talk. Yay.
I could imagine the car as shittier than it is, so I can believe it when it costs more to fix it.
Yeah. Like I said, I've mentioned, like, the few plot holes I have where they keep, like, oh, we want to set this character's backstory, but we're actually going to actively go against anything the way we set up for him. I'm like,
do you remember when he had that old Indian story of, like, oh, birds are, like, for a storm coming,
yeah.
Does that pay off again in any way?
Never shows up.
God, it's just a... I don't mean to keep derailing your review. No, I'm just so mad.
Yeah, this movie is just that there's very little comedic in it, because, like we said, it gets way more serious than it should, and it just feels way too much like, as someone's like, oh, I want to take my road trip, but make it a little bit more elaborate. And it's like, why didn't you do that? Because I feel like they start trying to make it elaborate, and they just kind of gave up halfway through. Like, yeah, I'll just finish our road trip story.
Mm-hmm.
And just that effect. They mentioned fucking art school so many times in this movie, which is making me mad. Like, art school, art school, art school, art school, art school.
You know, like, well, that's like the time I went to the technical college.
Yeah.
You know, the technical college. The one.
The only one.
Yeah.
Only one in California.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
you
the
know
only
what I'm
one in
about.
California.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right. What's your rating, Travis?
I'm going to give it a 4 out of 10 because it's not that it was awful. Like I said, the characters were pretty good because the actors were good, but the movie doesn't do anything.
Yeah. I guess I liked it a little bit more than you guys did, but not by much. You know, I'm just like, yeah, it was just a thing. It was a thing I watched. I had a few laughs. There was a few moments. I hate these movies that really try to be inspiring, even though they don't really say anything smart or say anything clever other than like, man, you got to eat that pussy, you know, kind of thing. And it's like, yeah, that's great life advice. You know, I think I learned that advice from Mindhunter, too. And that was a very different context. But yes, I made that reference.
You take away from the same thing as a Key and Peele sketch.
Yeah.
Like, and remember, do the alphabet. Do your alphabet.
Yeah, it's kind of what I got from this. So I'm just like, yeah, I think I'll give this, 6 out of 10 podcasts of how did this get made that I wish I'd listened to now. So, yeah.
Well, you know, that would have been better if that one of the characters actually had been dead the whole time and this whole thing was a Jacob's Ladder scenario.
Dun, dun. The long, dumb road is a metaphor. Don't you get it?
Well, it was long.
And dumb.
And yet somehow short.